Hello, and welcome to the Library Channel from Arizona State University, Episode 22. I'm your host, Fred McElvain. Hello, and thank you for joining us for another roundtable discussion. First, we have a few announcements. I'll be joined by Mimo Bonanni. I want to welcome all students, faculty, and staff back here at ASU. We do have a new library at the downtown campus, which opened August 21st. The Library Channel has expanded. Podcast producer Matt Harp has been working with Jennifer Duvernay and Mark Mason from the Department of Marketing and Outreach to create our first audio tour. The tour of the Charles Trumbull Hayden Library can be downloaded to an MP3 player and guides you through the largest library on the Tempe campus. And look forward to tours of other libraries and updates to existing tours in the future. See the tours section on the Library Channel page for more information or to subscribe. Mimo?
Hey, Fred. Good to be back. I just want to let everybody know that the library is now providing a new scholarly communication online resource to our academic community, researchers, students alike, to help them stay abreast of emerging trends that's happening in scholarly publishing. It's going to be a website, and on the site, there'll be suggestions for how faculty can negotiate with publishers to retain control of the scholarship and research they create, and as well as the researchers and scholars will be able to get sample contracts and sample writers.
Thanks. We also want to mention that the Lourdes Reading Room on the fourth floor of Hayden Library has reopened, and our lengthy recarpeting project is in its final stages. The Lourdes Reading Room has resumed their regular business hours.
Oh, and don't forget to check out It's Dry Heat, Biological Adaptations for Life in Arizona Desert, over at the Noble Science Library on the Tempe campus. This is the exhibit that Catherine O'Clair discussed with us last month.
For more information on all of these new developments, please see the news section of our site and the show notes for web addresses.
Is called the preamble and tells what those founding fathers set out to do.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility.
Today we are joined by Dan Stanton.
Hey, Fred.
Hi, Dan. Tell us a little about yourself.
I am the Arizona Local Documents Librarian at Arizona State University in the Government Documents and Maps Department, and also currently the interim head of the Music Library.
And Mark Scott.
Hi, Fred. I work in the Government Documents and Maps Department as the Arizona State Documents Librarian.
Thank you, guys. Today we are talking about an upcoming event which we will be audiocasting and videocasting, the ASU Libraries and Ross Blakely Law Library Constitution Day celebration here on the ASU campus. Tell us a little bit about Constitution Day. What is it?
Well, Constitution Day is an American holiday that recognizes the ratification of the United States Constitution. It's observed on September 17th, the day the U.S. Constitutional Convention signed the Constitution in 1787.
And also, Constitution Day, as we know it now in its current incarnation, came about with Senator Byrd from West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Put forth some legislation. He actually wanted to have a national holiday celebrating Constitution Day, but that didn't go through. So what he did get was any public institution or any educational institutions receiving government funding have to in some way celebrate the signing of the Constitution, and government agencies do this as well. So that came about in late 2004, and last year was the first year that there was this celebration of Constitution Day. And the interest actually sparked probably a little bit earlier in, at the bicentennial of the Constitution in 1987.
So how are we going to celebrate it?
Last year, there were a few events on campus, and the president's office wanted to make sure that there was more of a representation on campus this year. And so the University Libraries was contacted to kind of set up the premier event on campus. And lo and behold, it came down to government documents, which I guess is a logical choice. And so we've been working for the past 6 months or so on coming up with a program for the Tempe campus sponsored by the ASU Libraries and the Ross Blakely Law Library. And currently what we're going to have is on Friday, September 15th, we'll be hosting an event at the Carson Ballroom in Old Main on the Tempe campus.
It's a great building.
Yeah, it's real nice. And what we're going to do is we're going to have three faculty members from different disciplines here at ASU speaking about different constitutional issues. And we're going to have Dr. Catherine O'Grady, who's a professor of law and executive director of the clinical program in the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law, will be taking a look at the Constitution in action, a review and preview of upcoming constitutional Supreme Court cases. We'll also have, it'll be about a 45-minute lecture with some question and answer.
Dan, sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Are those going to be videotaped, like digitized?
They are going to be...
That's the plan
streaming
at this point.
Streaming video. Yep.
That's great.
The same, the libraries and list program is going to...
Another question. Free, and is it open to everybody?
Correct. It is free. That's a good question. It is open to everyone. The Carson Ballroom seats about 240 people. It is going to be, as I said, on Friday, September 15th, from about 1 to 5. We are having three different speakers, so we're stretching it out. So, as I said, we're going to have about 45 minutes of lecture and then question and answer. Professor O'Grady from the College of Law will be first. Then we'll have about a 15-minute break in between. We'll have refreshments, and we will have some materials from the various libraries on campus that relate to constitutional issues so that people can browse through those and chat with us about some of the resources we have pertaining to the Constitution here at ASU. The second lecture will be Dr. Catherine Kaplan, who's an assistant professor of history at the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, and she's going to speak about the rebirth of a nation, about the origins and ratification of the Constitution, because it is the Constitution and our government as we have it now is not the first government of the United States. There were the Articles of Confederation for a while, which didn't work too well, and so the Constitution came about after that, and so she is an expert on kind of colonial times and the politics of that time, and we'll be speaking about kind of the feel in the country and what this meant at that time. And then Dr. Joseph Russomano, who's an associate professor of journalism with the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication, will talk about a lecture entitled Watchdogs or Lapdogs, the Role of a Free Press and the First Amendment, with some question and answer. And we're hoping that, you know, between these three programs, we've given folks a good idea of how important the Constitution is and how relevant it is in today's world, and a look back at how things were at the start.
I know. I went, in preparing for this, I was thinking, you know, I've really always taken this very much for granted. Growing up, you said the preamble to the Constitution occasionally before the Pledge of Allegiance in classrooms. But you really don't think about it that much. And yet the First Amendment is one of our biggest rights.
Correct.
You mentioned that it's going to give you the library an opportunity to talk about tools and other resources that are available at the libraries for students to get access to information about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, one of you could cover that a little bit of what exactly can you get about the Constitution at ASU libraries?
We've got numerous publications in our collection, both here at Hayden and also at the Law Library. I know in the Government Documents Department, we've got access to LexisNexis Congressional, as well as we have a very thick, heavy volume that's actually an annotated edition of the Constitution, which goes through all the court cases, all the amendments, things of that nature. We've got access to the laws, the U.S. Code, but also at the at the Law Library, they've got numerous publications as well as treatises on the Constitution.
Great. So there's ample for
wealth of knowledge on this campus. We're also planning to have a small display during our lecture series with sources from both the Law Library and the Hayden Library.
Being a Canadian, I wanted to get an access to the U.S. Constitution. How would I get access full-text access to U.S. Constitution?
You want full-text access? There's probably the best site to go to would probably be the National Archives. They actually have the original in full-text if you want to read the old script writing, but there's also text on that site as well.
Oh, great.
And I should mention here that you know, you're lucky, Mimo. For the first 200 attendees, we will be giving away free pocket constitutions. So if you come to our, if you come to this, it's an incentive for you to come and learn about our country.
Getting back to online resources, in regards to somebody wanted to teach more about the Constitution in a classroom setting, is there that type of information available?
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of information. It's one of the things that's really great about Constitution Day, I think. You know, it's probably something that's covered at least, you know, partially in civics classes and things like that. But now with the advent of Constitution Day, with people other than, you know, school-age children having to focus on this, there's a wealth of resources out there. Some of the websites that are of interest that have more information or interactive things, the big one is the National Constitution Center, which comes out of the Annenberg Center for Education and Outreach, and they have www.constitutionday.us.
All this will be available in the show notes.
So. Right. I wasn't going to do that, and then I started doing it. But the Constitution Day website is probably one of the best resources for Constitution Day, and then that in and of itself leads to other resources. There are lesson plans. There are online. There are online interactive things. There are timelines. There's also the Library of Congress has an educational website as well. EdCitement, which is a Department of Education lesson plan website, has a section on the Constitution and Constitution Day. JusticeLearning.org, which is a collaboration between National Public Radio and the New York Times, has information on Constitution Day. And there's also another, one of the resources we have in the library is CQ Press, which is Congressional Quarterly Press, and they have an online, I guess, access point that allows you to look at the Constitution in context and kind of takes a look at some of the issues that we're facing today.
And That's a really great site. Has like pro-con debate information.
Yeah, it's real
Dan,
good.
We can't forget that the father of Constitution Day, Senator Robert Byrd's own personal Senate website, has some very informational literature on Constitution Day.
And you can actually see him. He's got his own streaming video where he pulls out his pocket constitution and tells you why he thinks this is so important, and it really is kind of touching, but it is...
carries it around with him wherever he goes.
He does. He pulls it out. You've probably seen him on the floor of the Senate.
I'll have to check that out, because he's a very interesting speaker.
So indeed.
Very passionate.
A little colorful.
Yeah.
Now, we're celebrating on the 15th. The actually Constitution Day is on the 17th, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what's the festivities then? I heard something to do with Colin Powell reading the preamble, or?
Well, there's a number of different celebrations. As I said, the Constitution Center in Philadelphia has. You know, that's what they do, is focus on that. So there's a number of events going on there. I don't know on campus here if anything's going on the 17th, because it's a Sunday this year, so you'll probably find more things the week before or the week after. But, yeah, there will be celebrations. Oftentimes what folks will do is have a reading of the Constitution, where the entire Constitution is kind of cut up into little snippets, and everybody gets a chance to read a portion of it, and they line up and read it. And it's been very successful, because it kind of gives a sense of community and a participation. And when you're actually reading the words, hopefully you're thinking about their meanings as well. Another thing that folks do with schools and whatnot is they'll have a focus on signing the Constitution so that you can kind of get a feel for what it is to read this and say, you know, I'm in agreement with this, and kind of as our founding fathers did, putting your life on the line by saying this is what we believe in, and this is the direction we want to take. So again, it allows you the opportunity to do it as an individual and collectively to participate in the spirit of the Constitution.
That question more philosophical, but I was wondering, why is the Constitution classified as a living document?
Well, I guess I'll take this one.
I was doing some research on that. There's some controversy about that.
It's a heavy one, Sophia.
Well, tell us about the controversy.
Yeah. I didn't read enough of it, so.
Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, with regards to the Constitution being a living document, the Constitution itself was, you know, put forth in 1787. It took a number of years for the ratification of it by all the states involved. And then also immediately afterwards, because the Constitution sets up our central government, and at the time, even when it was being written, there were concerns about individual rights. And so immediately after the Constitution, as we know it, was ratified, the other side got their way by having the first 10 amendments, which is known as the Bill of Rights. And so that allows for individual rights. And so since then, in our history, the Constitution has been amended...
Eighteen times.
Because the first one was 10 at once, but there were 27 amendments done to the Constitution. So it is something that can be changed or added to. The last... I think
that's what I was going to ask. When was the last amendment?
The last constitutional amendment
old enough, I should remember this.
Well, you know, I actually don't know what the last actual amendment was. The last one that went close, where it actually went to votes in the states, I believe, was the Equal Rights Amendment in the 1970s.
Right.
And, you know, you hear now about amending the Constitution with regards to marriage. So it is something that is still... to the institution of marriage, I should say, that it is something that is still available for change. And the other side of that is, you know, there's some interpretations that, you know, it needs to be interpreted as it was at the time. So it's, again, that's what makes our country what it is, I guess, is that we are allowed to have those discussions in a usually civil way, and, you know, keep moving forward, I guess, to use a university library's term.
Thanks, Dan.
So, who all did you work with on this? Who all was involved?
We worked with Tori Trotta from the Law Library. We've worked with Vicki Coleman,
the
Associate Dean. We've worked with Brad Vogus, the Head of Government Documents. Who else did we work with, Dan?
We've worked with Lily.
Lily Johnson from the administration.
Manager.
Yeah.
We've worked with people from the Old Main. That's what I wanted to say.
We work with folks at Old Main. We've requested materials from the Annenberg Center. We have worked, of course, with the faculty members who are going to speak. I should say, you know, initially, when we were trying to think of what to do, our first thoughts went to law, the law library, and so Tori Trotta came to mind, and she got on board right away and was very excited and positive about that, and she suggested Professor O'Grady become involved because she has spoken on the Supreme Court issues before as an expert in that area. And then we were contacted actually by... the Department of History, Dr. Noel Stowe, who obviously, being head of the Department of History, has a great interest in Constitution Day and was one of the ones that made sure that they did something last year in 2005. But he contacted us to see what we were doing and see if we could collaborate. And then we were thinking, you know, as we were doing this, there were some things in the news kind of related to this, and that kind of spurred us on to look towards the Cronkite School for kind of a journalistic perspective on this. And so Professor Russomanno is an expert in First Amendment law, and so he was a natural, and he was very enthusiastic. They've all been very enthusiastic and gracious in participating, and as well with their various departments and colleges. So we've been very fortunate with that.
Sounds like a really nice program. And it sounds very much like this is going to continue in the future.
Correct. That's the plan. There's an expectation that there will be some sort of celebration every year.
So I was wondering if you could channel Senator Byrd or Supreme Court Justice with this question.
Now, that's a tough question.
Well, it's actually kind of interesting to when we were originally planning this event. Mm-hmm. I actually contacted Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's secretary in Washington to see if she would be interested, being she's from Arizona, if she would be interested in attending this event, kind of kicking it off. Unfortunately, she's going to be out of the country, so we had to work down from there. But we tried to set our goals very lofty from the very beginning.
What I was wondering is, in your opinion, what do you think that students need to study or research the Constitution?
Why?
Well, the study of the Constitution, because it's both the foundation of this country and it's also the guardian of our liberties. I mean, it's an extremely important document that's been around for over 200 years. It's a fantastic piece of work that's held up over time, and it's rich in its writing, and it's rich in history, and it's an all-around great document.
It's the oldest current constitution in the world. It's kind of the one that started it off and is still, I think, the envy of democracies or states around the world. And it is interesting when you read it, kind of the philosophy behind it and things like that. But it does allow for our lifestyle that we are able to have here in the United States, and I think a lot of folks take that for granted. And when you actually read the words and, you know, read the news about things around the world and whatnot, you can see that because of this groundwork that we have, we for the most part are able to enjoy the lifestyle that we have in this country, and when you realize that, you realize what an amazing document it is.
A protection of our civil liberties.
Correct.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, so thanks so much for this great discussion. Dan, where can people get more information if they need it?
ConstitutionDay.us, ASU Library's homepage. We'll have some information there. Come by Government Documents. We're on the third floor of Hayden Library.
Open from when to when?
Well, the collection is open anytime that the libraries are open. We currently have reference services from 10 to 5, Monday through Friday, and a phone number for phone reference at that same time is 480-965-3390.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Fred. It's been
fun.
Thank you. Thank you, Mimo.
Thanks, Fred.
Tranquility. This has been Fred McElvain, and you have been listening to the Library Channel, your source for news and information at ASU Libraries. Thanks for listening. The Library Channel is produced by Arizona State University Libraries.